Picture a 3-pound universe inside your skull that determines whether you'll nail that presentation or freeze under pressure. Why does your brilliant colleague crumble when stakes rise? The answer isn't in their resume or personality test, it's in their neurochemistry. We've been approaching leadership all wrong, treating brains like blank slates when they're actually intricate chemical factories. Each person operates with a unique cocktail of neurotransmitters that determines their sweet spot for performance. Understanding this isn't just fascinating, it's the difference between thriving and merely surviving in today's high-pressure world. Astronaut Gordo Cooper napped before dangerous missions, while scientist Louis Pasteur paced anxiously. Both achieved extraordinary results because they found their neurochemical sweet spot, that state where your brain operates at peak capacity. This sweet spot follows the Yerkes-Dodson curve, an inverted U showing how arousal affects performance. Too little and you're scrolling social media during meetings. Too much and your mind blanks during presentations. Three neurotransmitters orchestrate this: dopamine, reward, noradrenaline, alertness, and acetylcholine, attention. Some people are right-side performers who create crises when life gets calm. Others are left-side performers, needing quiet and structure. Neither is better, just different chemical profiles. But what happens when your brain betrays you? In the 2006 World Cup final, Zinedine Zidane's prefrontal cortex went offline after Marco Materazzi whispered something. The headbutt that followed cost France the championship. This is emotional hijacking, when your primitive brain overwhelms your civilized one, treating a colleague's dismissive comment like a physical threat. Building resilience starts with fundamentals. Americans sleeping under 6 hours nightly have 60% more reactive amygdalas. Regular exercise cuts dementia risk in half, but your body can trick your brain. Smile with a pencil between your teeth and you'll feel happier. Strike a power pose and confidence rises. Label your emotions, "I'm feeling anxious," and watch your amygdala calm. Dean Potter walked a slackline across China's Enshi Grand Canyon with focus so intense that one slip meant death. That same laser focus is available to anyone willing to understand how attention actually works. Remember the experiment where people counting basketball passes missed the gorilla walking through the scene? Your prefrontal cortex evolved to boost important signals while filtering distractions. The problem? Modern life bombards us with more distractions than our ancestors could imagine. Here's what kills your focus: multitasking. Your brain cannot multitask. What feels like doing two things simultaneously is actually rapid task switching, and each switch costs about half a second of mental processing. Those half seconds compound into massive productivity losses and mental fatigue. As Steven Kotler notes, by trying to improve performance by being everywhere and everywhen, we end up nowhere and never. The antidote? Mindfulness, observing thoughts without judgment. Brain scans show experienced meditators have quieter default mode networks and stronger attention control. When you eliminate distractions and focus on a challenging task, you can enter flow, that state where hours vanish and ideas emerge effortlessly. McKinsey found executives in flow are 5 times more productive. Flow requires 3 elements: a clear goal, optimal challenge slightly beyond your current skill, and immediate feedback. Your brain craves efficiency. Neural pathways are like hiking trails. The more you use them, the clearer they become. This explains why bad habits stick and New Year's resolutions fail. Visualization isn't New Age nonsense, it's neurological preparation. Mentally rehearsing creates neural pathways to follow when needed. But positive fantasies backfire by tricking your brain into thinking you've already succeeded. Positive expectations, knowing how you'll succeed, releases dopamine and boosts motivation. The biggest obstacle? Procrastination. Large goals trigger threat responses. The solution is Kaizen, continuous improvement through tiny steps. One swimmer started with just 5 laps daily, with one rule: he could swim more anytime, but never fewer. Within months, he reached 70 laps without triggering resistance. Making habits stick requires transforming conscious choices into automatic behaviors through cues. implementation intentions work brilliantly. When my computer boots up, I'll organize receipts. For bad habits, use the 3D approach. Describe the trigger. I'm nervous, so I want to bite my nails. Distract with a pleasant alternative that releases dopamine, and delay by sustaining the new behavior until it becomes automatic. Sometimes your best decisions come from not thinking at all. A fire lieutenant once evacuated his crew from a house fire that didn't feel right. Seconds later, the floor collapsed. The living room was too hot and quiet for a kitchen fire. Anomalies his unconscious mind processed faster than conscious thought. Your unconscious mind has virtually unlimited capacity. Expert typists could type 76 words per minute with 95% accuracy, but could only identify slightly more than half the keyboard's key locations. Choking under pressure happens when your prefrontal cortex hijacks your unconscious brain. Intuitive decisions arise from the basal ganglia, which stores patterns from expertise, and the insula, which handles body awareness. When conscious and unconscious decisions align, your brain registers reward. When they conflict, it registers threat. These responses trigger bodily changes the insula detects, what we call gut feelings. Despite its effectiveness, corporate culture fears intuition. Gerd Geigerinzer estimates defensive decision-making, backing intuitive decisions with post-op data, or choosing inferior options justified by spreadsheets, is used in 1/3 to 1/2 of important decisions, noting it hurts the company and protects the decision-maker. Scientists once believed adult brains were fixed, until London taxi drivers proved otherwise. Years navigating London's complex streets physically expanded their posterior hippocampi compared to bus drivers on fixed routes. Constant navigation challenges generated new neurons, literally reshaping their brains. This is neuroplasticity, your neurons' ability to constantly rewire themselves. When you practice, your brain releases brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which consolidates neurons and triggers acetylcholine for sharper focus. BDNF encourages myelin growth, speeding neural connections. Even mental practice can rewire your brain's motor system nearly as effectively as physical practice. The catch? Unlearning bad habits is harder than learning correctly from the start. First-time experiences trigger dopamine due to novelty, making initial learning particularly powerful. Though neglected skills fade, they're never completely gone. Your brain operates on use it or lose it. Unused neurons get repurposed, but dormant pathways can be reactivated. Learning is fundamentally emotional. Your hippocampus evaluates new information for emotional relevance, discarding anything neither threatening nor rewarding. But you can trick your brain. People were 300% more likely to remember incomplete word pairs than complete ones. That small cognitive struggle triggers noradrenaline release that enhances memory. We're social creatures who learn better in groups, releasing oxytocin that enhances neuroplasticity. And adequate sleep is crucial. Without it, your hippocampus can't determine which information to store long term. The Rolling Stones' $8 billion success over 50 years demonstrates that sustainable performance requires understanding neurochemical diversity. Helen Fisher identifies four personality types: explorers, dopamine-driven sensation seekers; builders, serotonin-influenced stabilizers; negotiators, estrogen-enhanced empathizers; and directors, testosterone-powered decision-makers. Each type brings distinct strengths. Explorers thrive on novelty, builders provide structure, negotiators offer empathy, and directors make fast decisions. With unmanaged conflicts causing 65% of workplace performance issues, understanding these differences is crucial. Traditional performance reviews focusing on weaknesses are counterproductive, like asking an electrician to improve their plumbing. Instead, use four rankings: not acceptable, acceptable, professional, and best in class. Raise unacceptable skills to acceptable, then develop strengths toward best in class status. Building trust requires David Rock's SCARF model. Status: do people feel valued? Certainty: can you provide process safety? Autonomy: do people control their work? Relatedness: does everyone feel included? And fairness: are decisions just? Our brains process social pain like physical pain. Exclusion activates the same neural pathways as injury. The most effective teams experience social flow, that collective state where members anticipate plays before they develop and perform at extraordinary levels. Research shows social flow feels even better than individual flow and occurs 3 times more often in workplaces than during leisure. It requires clear goals, complete concentration, the right challenge level, and genuine risk. The paradox? Team members must feel individual autonomy while willingly surrendering it to the group's collective purpose. The real revolution isn't productivity hacks or leadership fads. It's understanding that your brain isn't a computer to be programmed, but a living, adapting organ shaped by chemistry, experience, and connection. The leaders who thrive won't be those with impressive credentials, but those who understand their own neurochemistry, respect others' differences, and create environments where diverse brains can do their best work.